Football Podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Morning. Just landed last night from a trip to Manila to be with my 87-year-old mother and be with her on the first death anniversary of my father. And at the same time, took a moment to be with the church and had some business, quote-unquote, church business that I had to attend to while I was there for a week. One of the guys in the church saw me, who I haven't seen for years, said, "Follow you on Facebook, and it seems like you wear the same thing every day." And when I looked at him, I said, "I assure you, while I wear the same thing every day, it's not the same thing because this thing is washed every day. I have 17 of this outfit, and half of them are in Manila and half of them are here. I got wise when I turned about 57, I think, and I thought the smartest thing to do is not add another decision I have to make every day. Please, but not in any way am I convincing you to do the same thing. For anyone of you who is wondering if these clothes have been washed last night, these are brand newly washed clothes in Singapore. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, we have been journeying through the book of Genesis. And some people say, "I'm bored with Genesis." And let me tell you something about the Word of God. It is never boring. Amen. If you're bored with it, it's probably because you're not in the Spirit. Because the fact of the matter is, there is nothing about the Bible that's boring. If you're bored with life, it's probably because you're walking in the flesh. Now, we've tackled the Genesis chapter 17, beginning in verse 1, where we find Abraham, who was now chilling out. He's now fulfilled his dreams, and God visits him. God speaks to him and says, "You can't do this. This is not the idea of life. While there's nothing wrong with having prosperity and material stuff, that's not the essence of life." And God visits him and says, "I'm El Shaddai, I'm Almighty God, and this is not the idea of where I want you to go." And he changes his name. As he changes his name, he changes the purpose of his life. He changes his destiny. He changes not just his destiny, but the call in his life was returned. And as a result of that, he found his purpose. And last week, we talked about this magic word called circumcision. The exciting world of circumcision, where we find close to 100 verses on this topic. And we find that in the preceding verses, from verse 2, God says, "I will make a covenant with you. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations. I will, I will, I will, I will." 6 times God says, "This is my promise to you." In the midst of that, "As for you, here is your participation. Believe me, and secondly, circumcise yourself." I can't circumcise you. This is something you have to choose for yourself. This is your participation. The willingness to cut off the flesh. The vast majority of verses on circumcision is about the flesh. Circumcising that part of your heart that seeks to live the way it wants to live. And it says this is a permanent mark. Other signs, the sign of the rainbow, street signs that you find everywhere, they're temptative signs. They're temporary. This is not temporary. This is a permanent sign to remind him of what God had promised him. And the vow of believing God and living for God and cutting off the part of the flesh. It was personal. It was something that nobody else saw but him and God, which is your heart. Today, I want to talk to you about meeting the flesh. Some of you don't know what it is I have to cut off because you don't know what the flesh looks like. And so we pick up in Genesis chapter 17, verse 15. God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai," story now goes from Abraham, it's not just about you. I love this verse, this particular line, because it tells you that God does not forget people. Sarai is the one responsible for creating something in the flesh in Ishmael. And yet, despite that mistake, and despite the fact that she's being sidelined, God does not forget her. I told you that I was with my 87-year-old mother. And it's fascinating how she's actually recovered. It's amazing. She's stronger than the last time I saw her. And she's getting stronger. And there's something about God does not forget you, whoever you are, and whatever situation you're in. If you think that God has forgotten you, he hasn't. He never forgets. It's very easy for Abraham to sideline Sarai. He now has a baby. He's got this concubine that his wife actually permitted him to have. And now he's got them both back. It's very easy now to sideline this woman. And God is making sure that he doesn't do that. In fact, he says, your wife, don't forget her. Just because you now have everything good and dandy and you're rich and successful, sometimes people get there, they become successful. Many marriages, they suffer when they get older. In fact, they say, statistically, that the vast majority of unfaithfulness and divorce happens when the children leave the home. Because what happens then is now I don't need this mother, and I've got the money, and I'm retired, I've got the time, I still have the energy, and it's time to live up the life in the flesh. You hear? That would be me. In fact, one of the things I guard myself is this idea of now chilling out. Of thinking that just because I've done so many things that I can now live in the flesh. Now it says, you shall now call her Sarai. No longer Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And essentially, God is saying, the same way that I changed your name, I'm changing her name. From a noble woman, from a princess, to a noble woman and princess of many nations. The same way that I changed your name. Do not forget, it's not about you, Abraham. It's interesting that God did not say this directly to Sarai, but it was said to Abraham, so he does not forget that other people are important. That just because you're blessed and you're having things good, that you can do whatever you want. And God reinforces this mandate where he says, I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. In other words, this is the real thing I want to do. I will bless her and she will become nations and kings and people shall come. I will bless her. Moreover, the only way you're going to fulfill your destiny is through her. Whether you're married or single, please do not make the mistake of thinking that when God blesses you, it's just for you. Please don't ever make the mistake of thinking that when God blesses you, it's going to be just directly from God's hand to you. Many times, the blessings I get come from through people. He uses people so that I don't ever forget that it's not about me. Nothing wrong with having the calling in your life that is specific and the calling of your life that's unique. It's important for you to understand there's something about you that's unique so that you can maximize that gift that God has given you. But there's also that side of you that is universal so that you realize when you're so overly unique, you become a celebrity and you forget the reality that you're supposed to be in a community. When you overly become in the community, you become a clone and you lose your vital reality of who you are and the maximization of the gifts God's given you. It's walking in both of these that God wants us to have. She shall become nations and kings of people shall come from her. Part of the honor that goes to us comes from the work of other people. We just held our appreciation for our volunteers. And some of the pastors, I don't have the picture lest I dishonor them, because the pastor dressed up as birds and we were in Jurong Bird Park. And so Joshua Harris dressed up as Texas chicken. Pastor Larry dressed up as the American Indian Eagle or something. Pastor Rhea dressed up as the Bacolod chicken. And Pastor Arnie dressed up as a penguin. I don't know why, okay? I think he's a Batman fan. But the whole idea was it's celebrating the church and saying, you know, we teach you the whole year round, but really this church doesn't work because of the guy in front. That was never the idea. Our job is to study the word so we can teach you so you can fulfill your destiny and calling in God. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And this is the second time this happens in Genesis 17. The first time he dropped to his face and fell in worship of God because God came as El Shaddai. This time God tells him, this isn't going to happen. Sarah's going to have a baby. And he drops to his face again. But this time he's not worshiping. He's actually laughing. When is it that you laugh? You laugh when you think something's a joke. Amen? And so here's Abraham thinking, this is God's great man of faith. Believe it or not, even the greatest men of faith are a joke. Which is an encouragement to you and me that Abraham himself did not fully believe God in the first place. That's what happened here. And then he said to himself, if you ever wondered, do people talk to themselves? Well, the Bible says that. Amen? You should be talking to yourself every now and then. There's days when I rebuke myself. Are you here? Joey, I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how cute you are. Amen? You're a sinner. And you're going to hell without Jesus. It's good to look at yourself in the mirror and tell yourself some things. And he's thinking to himself, shall a child be born to a man 100 years old? Basically, what he's saying, it's too late. That's the flesh. If you want to understand the flesh, it's always about it's too late. You know why? Because deep down inside of you, you know that that foreskin of a flesh has limits. In fact, if you live in the flesh, you are a guaranteed burnout by the time you reach my age. Because what you're going to be doing is you're going to be burning your flesh and not burning the Holy Spirit, which never runs out inside of you. And then what's going to happen is when you get to that end, you're going to say it's too late. Then he says, shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? Basically, he's not saying it's not just too late. I have no capacity or ability to do this anymore. That's the flesh. That's the outcome of the flesh. If you're smart, get there before this happens. Get to the place of knowing your flesh has limits. And when you don't live in the spirit but live in the flesh, you will end up like this. You're going to get to the end of your rope and say, it's too late. I'm running out of time. And I no longer have the ability, which is really what God wants to show this man. If you think you could produce an Ishmael out of a Hagar at this point, 13 years after, you're incapable of it. You're going to need something more powerful. Meet the flesh. It's too late means my timing, my abilities, my strength. I had a moment with my two grandsons and just tried to bike with them, and I was trying to just catch them. I'm 61 years old, and I thought I was going to die that day, amen? Abraham's 99 years old. He's raised a 13-year-old boy, and now God is telling him it's still possible. Let me tell you something about age. It's just a number, amen? Some of you, you're 35, you look like you're 45, and you feel like you're 61. Because you've been so used to living in the flesh, my ability, my timing, my way. And then you're wondering, why am I feeling this way? Well, you're burning your flesh. You're burning yourself. You didn't learn how to pray and cast your cares to God so that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. You didn't learn how to do that. You didn't learn how to meditate on the Word day and night, which gives you power and strength. And the Holy Spirit breathes that spirit of life inside of you. And that fire is the source of your energy. It whispers to you, Joey, go to bed and sleep. I'll take care of the message tomorrow. You're tired. Because He is well able. But you've learned to worry. You've learned to do things on your own and trust in your own abilities and my timing. And the flesh doesn't die easy. Verse 18 says, Abraham said to God, God's telling him this, oh, if you would just keep my flesh, keep this thing I produced in the flesh, if you would just bless the work of my hands, this is the flesh, not just my timing, not just my abilities, my way. The thing I produce, God, would you just bless the thing I produce? Do you really have to change this thing that I've already created? How do you know you're in the flesh when you're struggling with the thing you produced? I love you, amen? No one's going to tell you this. Your boss won't, because he wants to burn your flesh. So he can give more to his flesh. Your wife's been probably trying to tell you this for a long time, or your husband, but you're not listening. So my job every Sunday is to make the comfortable uncomfortable. Amen? And get you back on track in the spirit. Not just what my way, it's what I see. I see Ishmael. What are you talking about? Why will I trust something I don't see? I see this already. This is concrete. I've got a 13-year-old boy. Why do you want to build from scratch? Well, because I'm God. And I can do things you can't. Basically, it's not even what I see. It's what I want. It's my wants. The world is going crazy, folks. We're living for what we want. There's this article from The Guardian. Interesting guy. Dutch man, 69 years old, starts a legal fight to identify as a 20 years younger. In other words, basically, what he's saying is, he's saying, I want to alter my age the same way that everybody wants to alter their gender. Are you following? Some people say, I'm no longer a man, I'm already a woman, I'm a man. This guy says, I'm no longer 69 years old, I am 20 years old. How many of you know that's possible now? You know why that's so funny, isn't it? What this guy doesn't know is, in another 10 years, his flesh will be 79 years old, even if he didn't want it to be. And he's suing, he's in court, he's battling, he's fighting a legal battle because he's saying, if you're allowing people to change their sex, why aren't you allowing me to change my age? But that's how ridiculous our world has become. And you know why he wants that? Because when I go on Tinder and I say 66, 69, nobody wants to date me. Of course, you're 69. Look for a Sarai, amen? So give me a legal ability to change my age so I can date more people. How ridiculous is that? Because the flesh thinks this is where it ends. Every time I come to Manila, because I'm one of the older guys in the movement, they'll say, oh, so you're 61, and you know what I said, can you still do pull-up? Because all these jokes about old people. And I look at them and say, listen, you're going to get here one day. You're getting here. Don't worry about it. Some of you actually think you're not. You will. You can inject Botox all day long. You will. By the way, I have nothing against Botox. Botox is good. Okay? Just know what it's for and what it's not for. Gravity will prevail. Amen? Don't kid yourselves. Verse 19, God said, no. No, we're not doing the flesh. It doesn't work. But that word no, by the way, in the Hebrew Bible, it's not there. Theologians put it there because the concept was God was saying, you got it wrong. Sarah will bear you a son. I am God, and I'm capable of doing things you cannot produce in your flesh. And the harder you try, the more burnout you get. And I'll have a son for her, and you shall call him Isaac. You know what the word Isaac means? Laughter. So every time you see him, you laugh. Joy to remember. That's the fruit of the Spirit. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. What does the flesh really look like? Why doesn't God want you to be in the flesh? Because God knows how he wired us. Galatians chapter 5 verse 19 says, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, that's what happened to Abraham. In the desire to produce a child, he began sexual immorality by having a concubine. Impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery. Now you're trusting in all kinds of things rather than trusting in God. That's what sorcery is. You're trusting in other powers, whether that's your own ability or other gods, sorcery. Enmity, strife, this is what's about to happen. People are now divided. People hate each other. Jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions. God knows you do not want to build a life like that. Envy and drunkenness, orgies and things like these, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not, everybody say will not, inherit the kingdom of God. Now, you might be blessed here, but you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And that's the danger of being in the flesh. When you start living for the flesh and you start getting prosperous and successful, you might actually think this world ends here. It doesn't. 31 years of ministry, I've sat down in many a deathbed, folks. Young, old, babies, teenagers, middle-aged men. It ends one day. Because this flesh was not meant to go into the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus said, you must be born again. But here's the interesting thing. But if you're born of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, right here is love. That's where you want to live. I watched my beautiful bride of 36 years sitting down with my three daughters-in-law in my living room last Friday, just the night before I flew out. It was wonderful. You could see that these girls actually loved my wife and my wife loved them. And they, I didn't have a picture. She had her grandchildren. That's where you want to live. No, we don't drive the fanciest of cars. We do have cars. No, we don't live in a mansion, but we do have a house. We put our kids through school. We're not unblessed. But we do have love. And we do have peace. That's hard to have. To wake up every day with peace, with joy, where you can laugh at your problems. Patience. I was just watching the line at Levi's today. Kindness. People are so patient waiting in line for pants. Amen? Whoa. Talk about values. No offense, men with pants. Pants are good. Amen? Hard to go places without pants. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. The flesh is my timing. The Spirit is God's timing. You know exactly. My abilities, God's abilities. I've got limits, He doesn't. My way, God's way. My wants, what God wants. Verse 20, as for Ishmael, I've heard you, and I'm going to bless him. I'll make him fruitful. Don't worry about the thing you created in the flesh. It'll be blessed here on earth. But Abraham, you got to understand something. You're 99 years old, and that has a limit. Don't go there. That's not where we're going. But I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year. This is my timing. You probably are arguing and saying, why do I have to be 99 years old? Well, that is his timing. None of your business. None of your business. Just obey him. Meet the flesh. Galatians 4:22, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and the other by a free woman. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh. The son of the free woman was born through a promise. I have nothing to do with it. When he had finished talking with him, God just took off. God will always converse with you, but at some point, God's going to stop conversing and he's going to put it in you to decide what you're going to do with that conversation. Because he's not going to kill your flesh. You are. God did not circumcise Abraham. He did. Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all those born in his house and bought with money, every male among them, men, the men of Abraham's house, and he circumcised the flesh that very day. In other words, I do not fully understand it. I do not see it. This is not my way. This is not my ability. This is not what I want. But I'm doing it anyway. Why? I trust you. I believe you. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh. Now, some people, it doesn't matter if you're old. It doesn't matter if you're young. Ishmael was 13 years old. That very day, Abraham and his son Ishmael were circumcised. And the men of his household, he used his influence to influence them for what is righteous in God's sight. As I close, one final verse that is worth mentioning and thinking through. Philippians 3 verse 3 says, "For we are the circumcision," that's you and me, "those that have been circumcised of the heart in Jesus Christ, who worship by the Spirit of God and the glory in Jesus Christ." And glorify or glory in Christ Jesus, it says. The secret is we put no confidence in the flesh. Our confidence is in God and what He's done. And folks, this is not a sermon that you're going to take one day and leave here and forget. This is a message you want to remember. That every day, stop for a moment. Ask yourself, is there something in my life that God wants me to do that I don't want to do? Something in my life that is of the flesh that He wants me to stop doing. Some of you, God's already telling you, stop this relationship. Stop investing in these things. Stop rushing. Stop. There's some things that God is saying, not even stop. He's just saying, start doing these things. Start praying. Start seeking me. Start seeking God to the depths of who He is, because He wants to bless you. Not your flesh, not your abilities, not your timing, not your ways, not your ideas, not what you see, but what He has in store for you. Amen? Would you stand on your feet as we close in a word of prayer? Father, thank you for this morning. Jesus, we ask you that you would touch each one of us today. God, even as we worship, open our hearts to come to that place of the willingness to circumcise that part of us that is of the flesh, that part of us that trusts in our own abilities, in our own timing, in our own ways, in our own desires. But Father, may we look to heaven, look to you as Abraham did. Would you just lift up your hands towards heaven? God, we're surrendering to you afresh, even as we worship you this morning. Circumcise our hearts. Take that flesh away, Lord, and as we see that flesh rise up in us, give us the grace to overcome it. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.